Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you, everyone. This is Minister Jay Miller, the host of Dirty Church Radio. Stay tuned.
Thank you.
God bless you. Mr. J,
God
I don't know
God bless everyone, man. It was a little technical. Yeah, it was a little bit of technical difficulties, man. But we back. We here live on the radio. God bless everyone that's out there. This is Minister J. Miller, and I thank God I have my special guest on tonight. My brother, the good brother, the preacher, the man of God, man. Some of us on Dirty Church Radio, we call him Sword. But he's also known as Pastor Wendell Harris, great man to God, powerful man to God. And today's topic we're just going to be talking about on here, just feasting on God's word. We really don't have a certain thing that we're going to be talking about, but the Bible says that man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So tonight we just want to see what God is saying. We're going to just go to a few scriptures and just take it on from there. So I hope you that may be out there listening, you can call in also too if you got any questions about anything. We just thank God for whoever's listening that's listening. I thank God for my brother being on here with me tonight. It's a blessing. I called him kind of last minute, but I know he's a true trooper. He's a soldier. And when it comes to the word of God, he's always willing. And that's what I love about him, man. I learned a lot of stuff in the scriptures years ago from him. So tonight is a blessing to have my brother on. So what's going on, brother?
Holding on to God's unchanging hand. You know, like the Lord keeps me rooted and grounded on the fact that he's soon to return. And when he returns, where we going to be, what we going to be doing. And the Lord of God says, blessed is the servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, findeth him so doing. So the Lord, when he comes, he want to find us feeding his flock. He want to find us being about our Father's business. He want to find us sharing the word of God to inspire somebody else, to encourage somebody else, to show the love that Jesus showed us. You know, the storms of life, everybody has the storms of life. That's going to come. But we have to endure. Jesus said, he who endures to the end shall be saved. So no matter what trial that we come up against, no matter what storm hits us in our life, we have to know that it's our obligation to be rooted and grounded, to remain faithful, that when the Lord comes back, he can say, well done, my good and faithful servant, because we was about sharing God's word with somebody else to give them hope. You know what I'm saying, Brother Jake? We as ministers of God has to be rooted and grounded to the point that when the Lord comes back, this is what he want to see us doing. And so, you know, Jesus said that wicked servant is the servant who, because the Lord delayed his coming, he choose to run out and party and hang with the drunkards and begins to mistreat the men servant and the maidens or the girls and the boys or the men and the women. So we have to be about our Father's business to inspire somebody else and show the love of God. You know, another thing I just want to share that, you know, like we don't have to argue about nothing. Like, why is we arguing? When you argue, you only creating bitterness, frustration, and you creating an enemy. But when you learn to be humble and allow yourself to demonstrate and show and prove your point by action instead of a whole bunch of words, you don't have to argue. You know, we talking about the servant of God, the servant of God being ready in these last days that when Jesus comes back,
He going to find us being about our Father's business. You know, and being about our Father's business, like he told Peter, he said, "If you do you love me?" You know, like when he asked Peter, "Do you love me?" He was talking about agape love. That agape love, that unconditional love. So he said, "Peter, do you have unconditional love for me?" And then Peter answered him and said, "Lord, yea, I love you." But when Peter said, "Yea, I love you," he said, "Philo love," or Philadelphia love. That's brotherly love. So Jesus asked him a second time, "Do you love me?" Peter answered him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love you." He said, "Feed my sheep." The first time he said, "If you love me, feed my lamb." But Peter was stuck on that brotherly love. And he said it the second time. And Peter again was talking about that brotherly love. And Jesus said it the third time. "If you love me, or if you got that agape love, feed my sheep." So we have to feed the sheep of God as the ministers of God. I don't care what storm we may be going through, Minister Jay, we have to be rooted and grounded. Rooted and grounded. When you rooted and grounded, you know, a tree, when a tree is rooted and grounded, the tree busts rocks. That's why when we walk down the sidewalk and we see concrete uneven because a root done got underneath there and then cracked the sidewalk. It's a tree nearby. So when you rooted and grounded in God, you won't be moved, and you can't be moved, and we must not be moved. I mean, it's been a long time since we shared the word of God with one another, but like, no matter what, I don't care, because we got the victory in Christ. Sin can't dominate us, because he said in the word in Romans chapter 6, verse 14, "For we are not under the law." First he says, "Sin shall have no dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace." So, I mean, grace is a power for us ministers. Grace is an endowment for us ministers. Grace motivates us to know that we do what we do when it comes to obedience because of love, not because of fear. You know, the Bible says perfect love casts out fear. Fear has to do with torment. You know, and you got a lot of religious folk, man. I'm not bashing nobody in, and I'm not talking about nobody in particular. I'm just sharing my experience from being amongst I don't know if I should use so-called believers or believers. It doesn't matter. If you a child of God, your works ain't going to get you in. If works get us in, that means God owe me something or God owe them something. Look at the Jews for a second. They wasn't out, you know, whoremongering and, you know, and with the drunkards, and they had a so-called outward appearance of a holy life, but their spirit wasn't transformed. Jesus gave us a new spirit on the inside. So that new spirit on the inside, when we got born again, our hands was the same. It says, "Behold, all things are new. Old things have passed away." But those old things that passed away, and behold, all things are new. Now, them all things, I still got my same war wounds. I still know my old running buddies. I still know the old club. So all things is new. Is my spirit man is new. In my mind, I still know all the little, you know, negative stuff that I got involved in. I still got.
You know what? When it comes to those type of things, those are things that we have to learn how to cast those imaginations down. Because when we begin to think on it, sometimes, you know, it's good to remember your past, especially if you're heading forward and you don't want to go back there. But sometimes if you keep rehearsing your past in your mind all the time, if we keep doing that so much, rehearsing it, eventually,
that's why he said,
those thoughts start living again in our minds, and then we might find ourselves, you know what I mean, repeating some things because
right.
we haven't cast some things down. Just like, say, if you was a big-time right. drug dealer one time,
yeah.
and all of a sudden you start talking about your war stories all the time, and then your war
yeah.
stories start getting good to you. You know what I'm saying? And you're talking about
right.
it, but you're not really casting that stuff down and embracing your newness. So a lot of times if we embrace our past more than we embrace our future, we begin to start reliving the past. And then, I mean, you know, one thing, bro, is in God, man, we got to realize the power that we really have and not doubt what God is trying to do through us. And just for a minute, man, I just want to just go to a scripture, man. It's in St. Luke, the 9th chapter. St. Luke, the 9th chapter. This word is, man, the word, if we feast on this word the way we feast on other things in life, we'd be so much further and more ahead than we are, man. But we feasting on so many other things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So,
what we
now,
feast on, that's what starts coming out of our lives. So it's
yeah.
Luke, the 9th chapter. I'm going to read the first verse. It says, Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. I just want to stop there, man. The Bible says after the Holy Ghost come, you shall receive power to be my witnesses, right?
Right.
In Judea, Samaria, you know what I mean? Jerusalem, all parts of the world, the uttermost parts of the world, right? The Holy
right.
Ghost, the Holy Spirit, indwells us. It lives in us. And it gives us power to fulfill the assignments and the purpose that God has in our lives. And with
right.
that, with that power, we have to know what that power is and what it consists of and the authority that he's given us. The scripture right here that really
right.
grabbed my attention, man, is when he said, and he gave them power and authority over all devils. So right there, it don't matter what level or what the issue is or what the
right.
tactic or what the enemy is using to come at you, regardless of what it is. It don't matter how strong it may seem, how powerful, how long it's been there. If you embrace God the way he embraces you and you believe him to be the God who he is and you embrace the power that he has put in your life, there's nothing that you don't have power over.
Amen.
You have
Amen.
Power over all things, all devils, small, short, big, giants, legions. It doesn't matter. We have power and authority. And not only that,
Amen.
Do we have power over devils, the power to cure all diseases. Now, just imagine
Amen.
If we was to do a number of how many diseases exist in the world. Right at this time, I don't know the number of diseases that exist right now. If they was to put every disease in a bottle, how many bottles would we have? I don't know how many bottles it would actually be. But can you imagine? Now, look at this spiritual, in a spiritual sense. How many diseases of the mind, of the soul, of the spirit that is taking men out? How many things
right.
how many things do we need to be cured of and we don't even know what it is? All we see
right.
is the symptoms. We see what it does, but we don't even know really what it is. Doctors may call it one thing or this one person may call it one that other thing. But the thing that's so powerful about this scripture to me is it doesn't matter what it is. In God,
right.
we have power and authority over it all.
Right.
So a lot of time, if I measure my issue, sometimes we get to the place we start measuring each other's issue. Well, I've done this. I've been through this. And then you're like, oh, I've been through this, and I'm going through this. The bottom line the fact of the matter is, in Christ, we got power over all of it.
Mm-hmm.
But we allow our minds, and we allow a lot of times the failures of others and the perception or the pictures that other people paint in our mind, whether it's our family, our friends, or what we feel, make mm-hmm. us live a life less than what God's word is saying. If God, bro, say you got power over all devils, that means you got power over all devils.
Yeah, it goes to the point whether we're going to believe God or whether we're going to rely upon, like you said, our negative thoughts or our feelings. Like I was saying earlier, once you get born again, your spirit get transformed. But now we have to do exactly what you're saying. We got to transform our mind. We got to transform our thoughts. And this comes from meditating on the Word of God, studying the Word of God, and allowing the Word of God to transform our mind that we can think exactly what you're saying, that He gave us power, you know, not only authority, but dynamite explosive power. You know, and this is
great. Yeah.
You know, when you look in Acts, you know, Acts says, and you shall be endowed with power. After that, the Holy Ghost, that word power there is talking about dynamite power, explosive power. You know, that when an explosive go off, it affects everything around it. And so we have to walk in a life that we know the Holy Ghost is in us, like you said, and that dynamite power is going to have an effect on whoever comes around us. They're going to know that, you know,
we're
walking in power.
So, you know something that's powerful about that, man, too? Is that some of us have been bound with chains and fetters for decades, for years. We've been bound to some things for so long. And when you were talking about how power is dynamite power, some of us need an explosion in our life to really set us free, because we can't even reach into the cry of help of ourselves to even say help. Yeah. It's almost like our help is even bound.
Right,
and we need
right.
to be
you
set
know,
free so we can just even get to the point just to say, Lord, help. Our mouths have been shut. Our mouths have been closed with issues. They've been closed with pain and bitterness and unforgiveness. You know what I'm saying? So I really felt you on that, man, when you were talking about the power of explosion. That's what we need, man. We need a strong, powerful explosion to break these chains, to break these fetters.
You know, this is what we need, one another and fellowship. And this is what I share with my little inner circle of the sisters and brothers who inspire me and encourage me. I need you. Like, we need to be feasting on the Word of God as we're doing right now. Because when we not, like, you don't know the hell that I'm going through right now. Just as I don't know the storm that you're going through. If you're in a storm, but we know Peter was in the storm. You know what I mean? But, like, he started to sink. But he looked up and asked for some help. So, in life, the storm gonna come. Like, you know, When I testified of being in the fire, I wouldn't say it would be a waste of words to begin to go into detail of, you know, exactly where I'm at and what's going on in my life. But one thing I know, God is in control of the thermostat, and with me knowing that, I'm cool with going through my storm or being in the fire. It's not pleasurable going through the storm of life, and it don't feel good, but nevertheless, as a child of God, we can't see around the corner. God knows exactly what he's doing. He's perfecting us to be exactly who we destined to be, and we have to, like I said earlier, be rooted and grounded. And another thing that's helping me be rooted and grounded is brothers like yourself. Brothers like yourself and sisters who encourage me that when it looks like there's no one around, I get a phone call. I get a text. God bless you.
Yeah.
I just left prayer. You in my prayer. You know, and text me back. You know, let's talk. And we talk. And when we talk, it ain't no yin yang. It ain't no small talk. It ain't no, you know, who's zooming who. It's about, you know, no matter what you're going through, I'm talking about Brother Jay, like you said, we be bound up so much that we can't even cry out for help. I'm talking about being able to open up and say to you, like, listen, Brother Jay, I'm going through a storm right now. I'm the minister, man, but my coworker, man, is coming on to me, and I'm falling real weak. I need some help, man. You know, we can't talk about nothing like that in the church. We can't talk about that.
And you know something, bro?
Because we're going to get judged. So if I say,
and that's
if I
problem.
Tell you, or check this out.
That's
if
a big
say,
problem right there.
Yeah, if I get into detail and start telling you about my storm, and I start going and I start breaking it down and saying, like, you know, like, listen, man, I just got laid off from work, man. I haven't paid my mortgage, man, in like 3 months, man. You know, like, God is allowing me to go through. You know what? Like, people lose their homes and survive. Or how about if I say, listen, man, I done committed adultery, bruh. And, like, my marriage is about to be, like, ripped apart. Like, you can give me hope and say God is a miracle-working God. He can fix it. But I'm talking about crying out for help and having somebody that you can open up to and begin to, like, really break it down instead of hearing somebody say, come on to join the church. Come on and pay your tithe. All that's good and well. That's an organization in its place. I'm not knocking the church. I'm not knocking the offering. I'm not knocking tithe. That's part of kingdom principle.
No, but what you're actually saying is,
what you're saying is, put it this way, as a brother, me and you both men, whether it was two women, men or whatever, we in Christ. My issue that I'm dealing with, I should have enough trust to know that my brother and sister is loyal enough not to try to crush me and expose me to embarrassment, but to pray me and cover me into a place of deliverance, not into a place of compromise.
Yeah, or even
not a place of compromise.
People, yeah, but some people, all I need is for you to listen to me. When you listen to me break down to you my issues, first of all, I got to trust you and we got to have a relationship.
That's what I was saying. Before someone can listen, before you can give someone your ear, before I can talk to you, even before we get to the place of you listening to me, I first have to trust you, all right? I have to trust you. And that's what's wrong in the body of Christ, and I'm not pulling no names. I'm not saying everybody, the whole body of Christ. But a big problem is when you hear my issue and my issue is worse than your issue, you act like it's the end of the world and that's the worst thing that's done. There's no coming back from it. And then you'll judge me forever based on what I reveal to you. And that's a problem.
Right.
The thing about it, man, God is a forgiving God. And with our brothers and sisters, we should always push for deliverance. We should always push, give them an opportunity. Listen, in every temptation, God always makes a way of escape. There is always a door of escape in every situation you're in. Whether you go to it whether you take that option or not. It is there. So if you come to me or I come to you, bro, listen, man, for real, man, I just did this right here and I just did that, man, automatically, you being my brother and sister, you're supposed to lead me and help me find the door of
escape.
Give you
a hug. You might need a hug. You might need a
hug.
And that might be my way of escape.
Need,
you know what I mean? You might need a hug. You might need somebody. You might need somebody that you know is there. You're not isolated. See, the devil want to get you isolated so you by yourself and you ain't got nobody to talk to. Nah, man. I'm surrounding myself around brothers like yourself. You know, I might can't physically reach you, but you in my prayers, and I know I'm in your prayers, and we connect with one another through a text, through a phone call, through an email. You know, you on my mind. I got you in my prayers. So, you know, like you said, we need one another. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if ye have love one for another. I don't care what
and
that
is needed, man.
You know what I mean?
That
I
is
love
needed.
You. That's the whole thing. And I tell brothers and sisters that daily, like, I love you. I love you in Christ. I love you. You know, and I'm human, just like everybody else, and I'm growing to learn the agape love, the unconditional love. You know what I mean? And that's an inspiration to me. You know, like, can you work on self? I'm working on myself today. I'm working on integrity. You know what I mean? Being honest. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, when nobody ain't looking. And then check this out.
And that's the real stuff right there.
If I fall short, listen, if I fall short, I got hope.
You know something, man?
I got hope. I got hope. Jesus is my hope. Jesus is my rock. Jesus is my anchor. Jesus is my light. Jesus is my salvation. Jesus is my lawyer on behalf of the divine courtroom. Jesus is on my side. He gave me a promise that no man or woman can take away from me. So my hope, no matter what I'm going through, am I inspiring to be better? Jesus lets me know, listen, I love you. I got your back. I'm for you. Let's get up, you know, and let's get up and let's move on. But if you weak, my perfection is my strength is made perfect in that weakness that you're going through. Don't worry about it. Don't you worry one bit. Have some hope. Have some faith. Remember the word that Jesus spoke, that I am with you even unto the ends of the world. Man, Jesus is the greatest, Jack. We supposed to reflect him. But can you imagine knowing him? Just to know him is enough love to make me do right. Not because I'm scared.
And that's the word right there that I'm going to focus on. I'm going to focus on that word, love.
Right.
That's one word I'm going to focus on. Because
and that's great. It's
I think we easily say that word. That word, it becomes a cliche, love. I believe the season that we're in, it seems like people embrace their gifts.
Check this out.
More than what they do with love. You know what I'm saying?
You remember power and death is in, life and death is in the power of the tongue. You know what I mean? Like, you can tell somebody, I love you, and if they come to you when they're hungry, you might not give them your last dollar or whatever the case may be. I don't care what the state is.
I feel what you're saying.
Is. You know what I mean? Like,
I feel what you're saying on there, right?
And you learn. Yeah, you learn that, you know, I need to be like, you know, like Jesus. I need to really
I got
love
you right
you.
There. I want to say this point before I lose it, before I lose the thought, what I was saying. Like, dealing with love, I think the season that we're in, we embrace everything outside of love. People would rather be a prophet. People would rather be able to prophesy. People would be able to, you know, speak in tongues and lay hands and do all the gifts, all the wonderful, miraculous works. But mm-hmm. it seemed like the hardest thing people embracing is real love. It's like everybody wants to be the great preacher. Everybody wants the strong following. Everybody wants to be, you know, noticed. Everybody wants their gift, you know what I mean, to make room for them. And it's crazy how you want your gift to make room for you, right? But you're not making room in your life for love. And I think we asked and we're wondering, what's wrong with the church? Or why is this going on this way? Why is that happening? Because people ain't loving for real. People ain't loving the way God loves at the end of the day. Because if I do something wrong, you'll hold me to that one wrong. Every time you think about it, God can have forgave me. Me and God is moving on, but you'll still be stuck with my issue when it was my issue and it's no longer my issue. And love, the love is like it's not there. And that's what's wrong, man. That's why so many people, they might start coming to church for a little while. Then they'll leave. They'll start. They'll get that great, you know, that beginning feeling, the excitement, and they're loving it. They're excited and everything. But as days go on, the love is not there. And then once the love is not there, everything else seems phony. It begins to seem unreal and fake.
Just like you said in 1 Corinthians, you can have prophecy, you know, you can give all your money to the poor, you can do this, but if you ain't got love, you ain't got
love.
You know what I mean?
For real.
Jesus said, love ye one another, even as I have loved you. You know, and then he said, like, you haven't even seen me before, and you say that you love me. But you despise your brother that you see every day, your own flesh. So, like, you know, love is real serious. Like, you know, honestly speaking, myself, I'm learning to love one another. I'm learning to love my brothers and sisters. I'm learning to share. I'm learning to give, you know. Even if it's just, hey, how you doing today? God bless you. Good morning. Something. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Like, if you got you got brothers and sisters that's real, you know, like, how about giving them a shout-out in the morning? God bless you. I just called to say good morning to you. Let your day be filled with love and peace today. You know, just some encouraging words. Some people need to hear your voice, or some people need to just get a phone call or get a text. You know, like,
you're right.
It means a lot to somebody. You can't get it if you don't give it. So a lot of people, they want it, but they ain't giving it. So, you know, Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciple, my disciplined one, my student, if ye have love one for another. You know? So, like, you know, that verse that you read is very powerful. It encouraged my soul. You know, when we read the Word of God, I mean, we talking and encouraging one another, but when you read the Word of God, it brings about a certain strength, man. You know, like, you know, he said, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents, scorpions, and all the power of the enemy. But, you know, my prayer is, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. You know, because honestly talking, Jay, it's a part of me, man, that, you know, I know that doubt kicks in, but overall, Jesus keeps my heart rooted and grounded on his promise that I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And my strength is made perfect. In your weakness. So my confidence is, let me be about my Father's business, even if I don't feel his presence right now, even if I don't feel like he's answering my prayer today or yesterday. That's okay. I'm mature now. See, when you get into a place of maturity, you don't always need God to come and stroke you and rub you down. You have this manly mentality. Like, to have a man, they say, you know, like my father used to say, you ain't no man until you get in your 40s. You know, today I'm starting to realize these things, man. You know, like, we have to grow. And so being a man in God, like, I don't always need Jesus to come down and get in my face and smile and say, listen, don't you know I'm with you? I know he's with me according to his word, and I have trust. So when the doubt kicks in or the unbelief kicks in, that's my hindrance right there to lay hands on the sick. Or that's my hindrance right there when the devil starts taunting me and starts saying, now look at you. You got these court issues, these legal issues. Now look at you. You know, now look at you. You done lost your house. Now look at you. Your finances is down. That's okay. I shall rise. So I got some hope. So, but my unbelief, sometimes, you know, you get hit so hard, man, the storm hits you. And when you begin to, like, kind of distrust God a little bit, we say we believe in God for the home. We believe in God for the car. We believe in God for the entrepreneurship. We believe in God for the right relationship, the right wife, the right husband.
Yeah.
But then soon as we see a decrease in our pay, soon as we see we get denied from getting that house or whatever, then we say, oh, where's my faith? You know, like, there's a part of us, man, that doubt just kicks in, but Jesus is greater than our heart. And, you know,
that's true, man.
Doubt
is something that's always going to kick in. Doubt, it always happens, man. And I just wanted to interject right here. I wanted to put this one scripture. It's Isaiah, the 48th chapter.
Where is it at?
Isaiah, the 48th chapter, starting at the 9th verse.
Isaiah.
Yeah, I know it'd be getting good to you, bro, but every now and then I got to interject just to put some scriptures, because the people that's listening, I want them to hear some of the scriptures. They can go read it themselves, things like that, man.
You see,
so,
I take down. Yeah. I take down. That's my whole thing, man. I'm humble, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. It's the word, that's all we can do. The word of God,
That word is, it's something profound about it. So, you know.
Yeah.
I have,
but it's Isaiah 48, and 9th verse. And it says, for my name's sake will I defer mine anger, and for my praise will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction, for mine own sake, even for mine own sake will I do it. For how should my name be polluted, and I will not give my glory unto another. Listen, man, and whoever's out there listening, there are a lot of you, and all of us are in different types of afflictions, dealing with different afflictions on different levels. And the heat may be seeming to rise every second that you're in that situation. It just keeps rising. It keeps moving up. It just keeps getting worse and worse. But do you realize, man, some of the things that you're in don't even really have nothing to do with you? It's just for God to get the glory.
Amen. You know.
And I know some people are like, well, that's not fair. Or why? But the thing about it, man, some of us, man, we put, sometimes I think we look at ourselves sometimes in a certain way, like, you know, like, why would I have to go through this? Why would I have to do this? The thing about it, man, if God is getting glory out of you going through a certain thing, it's going to work out for you. It's going to work out for you. It's going to bless your life one way or another. But the main point of it is, it's really not about you. It's about God. Amen. Regardless of what it is, and everything that we're going through, and everything we in, ain't the devil.
Right.
We can't blame every affliction on the enemy. There's things that God puts you in.
Yeah.
And it's just because he wants to do it. Like, for real, like, it's like really no, it's just because it's for his glory. it's for his name's sake that he do it. Because God doesn't have to answer to nobody. God is God. My bro, who's greater than God?
There's none.
There's none. So whatever choice he makes is really not based upon nothing else. It's based upon himself. So, bro, I know me and you, we going through some different issues. And I know there's people out here that's going through some stuff right as we're speaking. And it's hurt. It's painful. There's some things that we've done. There's some things we didn't do. It hurt. It hurt others. It hurt ourselves. But at the end of the day, if we just trust God, bro, the glory is going to him anyway. So the thing, man, we need to do is just get on board of God getting the glory and not fight it. And not, you know, think that we can resist God getting the glory or that we can stop him from getting the glory. Because his word says, and I will not give my glory unto another. God will not allow anything, you, me, sister, brother, mama, daddy, grandfather, grandmama, niece, nephew, grandchildren, friend, dog, pet, nothing is going to get in the way of God getting the glory. He won't allow it. He won't even let you give his glory away. He's going to get it either way. His glory ain't even based upon your choice. Regardless of what you choose to do, whether you choose to serve God or choose not to serve him, he's still going to get the glory.
Bless his name. Yeah.
Either way.
Yeah.
Either way, bro, he going to get it. You know, some of us be like, well, Lord, I've been in the field. I've been preaching a long time. I've been faithful and I've been doing this. Why? God is saying, why not?
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
Man.
See, the thing of people, we've got to realize, man, God is in the glory getting business.
Bless his name.
For real, yeah. He's in the glory getting business, man. And he's going to get it from my life, and he's going to get it from your life. Whether we willingly give it to him,
mm-hmm.
or he takes
it. And we're going to willingly give it. We're going to willingly give it. Because we chosen. When you're chosen, you go through different storms, but like you said, you know, God is the one that's refining us. He's the one who's purifying us. You know what I mean? So, you know, no matter what affliction that we're going through, there is hope, man. No matter what.
There is.
Finances, like,
it's going to work out for us.
Relationships is like, it's going to work out. It's going to work. All you got to do is stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Just trust God. I mean, that's not easy for some people, man, that's really catching some real hard times. But at the end of the day, you know, who else can you
at the end of the day, bro, really, there's really
God.
No other choice, really. It's really no
you know
other
mean?
Choice. Whether
I
you're
mean,
going
you
to deal with your hell with God or you're going to
deal
with your hell without God.
Without God.
You're going to
yeah.
deal with hell with him
yeah.
or you're going to deal with it without him.
Right.
I'd rather deal with whatever I'm going through with God than to deal with it without him.
Amen. God is so good, man. You know, like, he can bring us, I don't care how low you are, God can bring you up. If you just hold on and trust him.
Yes.
You know, I'm a testimony, man. You know what I mean? God has brought me up and he's still bringing me up. So
yes,
I'm just,
man.
You know, like, you know, just keeping my eyes on the prize, man, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. I'm not looking at those around me, man. I'm looking at Jesus, man, because, like, a lot of times people will knock you down, man. Like they say, people like class, they'll pull you down when they see you trying to get up, man. But my eyes is on Jesus. You got to keep your eye on Jesus no matter how, no matter what you're going through right now in your life. Be encouraged by the good, brother. There is hope, man. Just trust God and stick and stay. Like, don't give up, you know. Don't give up no matter what. Do not throw in the towel. You know, that's what the devil wants us to throw in the towel. But one thing I determined and I told my inner circle, there ain't going to be no towel thrown in this fight, not this time around. I'm going to stick and stay. I'm going to hold on till my change comes, and I'm going to keep looking up. If I'm on my back,
wow,
I'm going to look up. You know what I mean? I'm not giving up. I'm not throwing, ain't no throwing in the towel, not in this fight. Mm-mm. So I'm going to keep running, man. You know, the old times.
You know what, bro?
I come a long ways, and I'm no ways tired. You know what I mean?
You,
like,
know what's good about that, what you just said?
Go ahead.
You know what's good about what you just said? You're going to wait till your change come, right? You know what's so crazy?
Yeah.
While you're waiting on your change, we still can't let that stop us from helping others change.
Amen.
And
that's
find
my
change.
Whole mission. Yeah, that's my whole mission, man, to encourage the body of Christ, man. You know, to let a soul know their worth, man. You know, like, Jesus is looking for the heart. And it's a lot of people who Jesus have touched, man, but they just don't have the right knowledge. He said, my people is destroyed from the lack of knowledge. Got to get in Jesus' word, man. You know, I want to read a scripture before we get off.
Go ahead, read the scripture. Let's go there. Let's go to the scripture.
Let me see.
What's the scripture?
Matthew 24. Yeah.
Hold on 1 second. Let me turn these pages. Which verse we at?
Matthew's 24, 1 second. The last five verses, verse 45. You know.
Who? Okay. Who then?
Okay.
Is a faithful,
yeah,
wise servant?
Who then?
Okay.
Yeah. Who then? Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord has made ruler over his household? To give them meat in due season, you know. Like, if you chosen, and you that wise servant, whomever you are, and Jesus have ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, he puts you over his household to feed the flock of God. And so,
and that's what
your
he expects
mission
from
is
you
to do that. And so you have to be watchful. He said, verse 46, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. When Jesus come, his second coming, he want to see you being about your Father's business, sharing the word of God with one another, encouraging somebody, just as you just said. And then verse 47, he says, verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and this is my catch, but, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. This is the devil always try to discourage you to tell you Jesus ain't coming back so you can throw in a towel. Jesus ain't coming back so you can go sleep around with whoever you want. Jesus ain't coming back so you can go have a drink or you can go dip and do whatever. No, man. You have to have a watchful heart and be about your Father's business and feed the children of God, manna from heaven, which is his word. We, you know, my encouragement is just that word right there. You know, feed the flock of God and be rooted and grounded. And don't be that evil servant who's thinking that the Lord is delaying. It says in then verse 49, and he shall begin to smite his fellow servants. You fighting people. You got bitterness in your heart. You angry and frustrated with your fellow man. And to eat and drink with the drunkards. You're not throwing the towel.
you out living and doing what you want to do. That's not the will of God. You have to be about your Father's business. The Lord of that servant shall come. See, this is about being watchful and being ready. You got to live today like it's your last day. We shall soon see the Lord face to face. So we have to be about our Father's business, share the word of God, encourage somebody, show the love of Jesus, you know, and remember this word. This is Jesus talking. He says, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. With the hypocrites. And you know, we don't want, you know, to be a castaway or cut off. You know what I mean? Like, we have to remember that the Lord is coming back, and he just said that, you know, like in the last few days he was living, and he said, who then is that faithful servant? You know, that the Lord will make him ruler over his house and that he will give them their meat. You know, but if that servant begin to say in his heart that my Lord ain't coming back, you know what I mean? You're going to do what you want to do. God help us. You know, that's my prayer. You know, God help us that we can, you know, tighten up, man. Start crossing some T's and dotting some I's. We got to change and do better. You know? Lord, help me. You know what I mean? So whenever the enemy tries to discourage me, say, throw in a towel, go back and revert to your old ways, I remember, you know, Jesus' verse right there. Like, you can't go running and partying there and hanging out with the outside crew. You got to do what you need to do and hold on. If your inner circle ain't there, your inner circle is those close to your heart, man, those who got your heart. They got a piece of your heart. You know, they understand your spirit. They like with you. You know what I mean? And if they not there, you got to stay rooted and grounded and be about your Father's business, because he's coming back in a day that we think is not. You know?
Yo, it's a word that you used earlier. You said integrity. What I do when no one's around. You know, when no one is looking. When I just know what it is. It ain't even concerning nobody else, but just me. And that's what we really have to really start dealing with. Integrity in the body of Christ.
You gotta be honest.
Where I'm not going to just act like this just because certain people are looking right now, just to appear a certain way. Just like the scripture's talking about, we don't want to be hypocrites, because hypocrites have a place that they're going, and it's not a good place. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I believe that's we got to work on ourselves, man. We have to work on our character.
We have to work on who we are.
And not only that, bro, you know what we got to do? We got to strip ourselves of whatever false identity that's within us. Whatever false identity that we have embraced throughout life, not sometimes, you know how the Bible talks about spirits are transferable?
Right.
We're dealing with, like, say you got certain friends. You say you got three friends. You get around one friend, and that friend, you act a certain way. Then you get around another friend, you have a way you act with them. Then you get around another friend, And you act a certain way. So it's almost to the point where we let our surroundings and our connections produce a certain identity in us, where we don't know who we are without anybody. We only identify ourselves by what we're connected to. But God is saying, listen, that's why sometimes I want to get you in an alone place by yourself, so I can show you through the word, which is a mirror. So I can show you your real reflection. I can show you what I'm trying to reveal through you and what I have destined you to be. I have not destined you to mimic anything. I have not destined for you, you know what I mean, to copycat anybody. But I have birthed you into this place for you to embrace your true identity, because you can't even get your true anointing until you embrace your true identity, who you really are. And I believe we got a lot of people walking in with masks on, covering up. A lot of us put masks on, bro, because of pain and bitterness. and we put a mask on and we portray that character just so we won't feel hurt. We're hiding from stuff. But it's the season where we got to start confronting things and get healed of things so we can strip ourselves of the falseness and embrace the realness of God, our authentic purpose.
Right.
Not finding our purpose based on what we've seen in someone else, but who God has designed us to be.
Amen. Amen, brother. Amen. We have to know who we are. For one, I'm a child of God. You're a child of God. Know that, you know. Like, it doeth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he comes, we shall be like him. You know, like, receive our glorified body. You know, behold, now are we the sons of God. You know. So, like, you know, I love him so much, man. I thank him for, you know, the brothers and sisters that, you know, inspire me, encourage me. You know, I cry out daily. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man.
Help me. You know what I mean? Like, help me.
Yeah.
You know, this conversation is a blessing. You know, how can I refuse? You know what I mean? How can I refuse? My whole thing is to inspire, man, the body of Christ. Just like I'm getting inspired from the body of Christ. Bible said they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So we have to share with one another. We have to inspire one another, you know. So my mission and my aim is to do what, you know, Jesus has instructed me to do. Like this one sister said, You have to be focused on your purpose and your mission, man. You can't let nobody stop you from your destiny. Like, you have to, like, focus on what your purpose and mission is and fulfill it. Do what you've been commissioned to do. Like, if you have to inspire the body of Christ, preach to the body of Christ, teach the body of Christ, show hospitality to the body of Christ, you know, let somebody know that ain't saved that there is some hope, you know, feed the poor, whatever you do, your mission, you know what your mission is and what your purpose is in life, drive for it, be who you are, you know, and see it come to pass. Like, have some hope. Hope comes from God, man. Hope comes from God. And sometimes you could be so down and out, man, that's the only thing you got is hope. And you can go real far with some hope, man. If you got hope, you got God, because hope comes from God. That's what I got, hope, you know. So the finances might not be there. The relationship might not be there. The house might not be there. But by faith, it's there. You know, but hope now, he said, why shall you hope for that which you see? We hope it for that which we see not. You know, so if you see it, why yet hope for it? But we see it in the spirit realm. So if you see it in the spirit realm and you got confidence from God, you got a word from God, stand still, have some hope, keep your vision. The Bible said, though the vision tarry, wait for it. I'm getting on something. I'm about to change my little mode, Jay. My mode is, man, I need to start saying like I used to say. I'm blessed, man. I'm saved. I'm delivered. I thank you for the house. I thank you for the car. I thank you for my children. I thank you for my wife. You know, my bank account is blessed. You know, money coming. You know what I mean? Now, the money that I'm to see, God want to bless us that we can have not just enough, but more than enough that we can live. Because if you ain't got no money, you can't pay no electric. Your electric going to get cut off. You ain't going to get no water. You need money. And so in order for you to have the money, you have to believe that you qualify. And God already done qualified you because he said, I'm going to give you the desires of your heart. So now confession and believing go hand in hand. I got to get this thing inside my heart and begin to confess it. That's how I got saved. I got saved by confessing with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believing in my heart. So now for me to see the house, spiritually I see it. But the transfer, I need to begin to, like, you know, like believe, like confess. Like, not only confess, but get it inside my heart. Like, you know, like the house cometh, you know, the bills paid. You know, how about debt free? Like, why not? Like, why not? You know, and more than enough so I can have something to give you. So I can have enough when I see the man who homeless, like, you know, hey, come on, man, let's go get something to eat, man. Hey, I got enough to share. I got enough to go around. The man, the two sons, he was out, the prodigal son. He came to his sins. We got to come to our sins and say, my father have more than enough. You know, like, let me go back to my father, you know, because he has more than enough to spare, you know, like, and God want to put us in a position that we can have enough that our kids is financially stable and others that we encounter, strangers. The Bible says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, because some have entertained angels unaware, you know, so, like.
Well, look, bro, check. Hold on 1 second, right? I'm about to make a call. I'm hoping my brother, Apostle Young, will answer the phone. I'm going to call him because it's a question I'm going to ask him. I'm going
to
call him.
So, what
do
you want me to do?
No, you stay on the line. Stay on the line. I'm calling him right now.
Okay.
Man, this is good. I thank God, man. We got like 17 yeah. more minutes, man.
Okay.
17 more
God
minutes.
God is good, man.
No, he's awesome. He's awesome.
That's true.
I mean, he's just
awesome.
He's so good. I can't really. It's hard to even put it in words to really describe how good he's been. You know what I mean? And I'm so happy, man, for him. Letting me survive things that I've been through based on my own decisions that got me into those things. But he still spared me, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm so thankful unto God for that. I'm so thankful unto God for that. It's such a blessing, man.
Bless you, Lord.
Such a blessing.
Good fellowship with you, brother.
Yeah, man, it's, yo. I'm about to make one more call real quick. Hopefully we'll get through to somebody. 4, 3.
But it's a blessing fellowship in which, man, we got to do this more often. You know?
Oh, yeah, man. Dirty Church Radio, man. I'm back.
You know,
we're back,
like,
right
I'm
now.
I'm a realist, man. You know, I like to be real about things. You know, it means about being fake and, you know, being...
Yes.
Or resist. I mean, we come up with truth, but like the whole thing about it, man, is like, you know, let's stay down and root it. Cause come on, I can share with you, and I, you know, not literally, but I done been to hell and back. You know, the school of hard knocks is real. Like, you know, the storms of life is real. You talking about consequences from your own stupidity, consequences from your own actions. At the end of the day, man, you know, you can be so messed up. And I'm talking about myself. So messed up that, you know, like when he said we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that shadow lets me know there's some light somewhere around. But death was around me, man. But today I'm alive.
Wow.
Today I'm alive. I can see. You know, I can walk outside my door and enjoy the fresh air instead of frowning up and frustrated about my issues and problems and can't even see the possibilities and blessings. You know, so today I'm not focusing on my problem, man. I'm focusing on my possibility. I'm focusing on that. You know, there is some hope. I can change. I can make my situation better by, you know, inspiring to do something about it instead of sitting back and waiting, you know, and not doing what I need to do. If I got to do the footwork, I got to do the footwork, you know, which is if I got to pick up a book, man, let me pick up a book. If I need to go back to school, let me go back to school. You know what I mean? If I need to, you know, like look for a better job, let me look for a better job. You know, if somebody is causing me pain and misery, man, and don't want no relationship with me, let me let go, man, and move on. Like, you know, God don't want me miserable, down and out, busted, disgusted, all broke up, lost somewhere, and can't even see the possibilities or the day of light. So I'm grateful today,
wow,
man. You know, I'm in a storm, but I'm grateful. I am grateful, and a grateful person, man, is the person that's like, if you got gratitude,
hello?
That gives you a sense.
Hello, is this Pastor Byrne?
Yes, it is.
Pastor Byrne? Yo, man, no, this your brother right here, Minister J, man. Just letting you know you live on the air right now, man.
What's going on, sir? What's going on?
I'm calling, man, because I just want to ask you, what right now, let's just say right now, you got 3 minutes left. What would be your message to the body of Christ as a whole?
Three years left my life.
I know this is out. I know this is random, out of nowhere. But this is what we do on Dirty Church Radio. I just want to hear.
It would be first of all, love God with all your heart.
Uh huh.
And if you love Him, you keep His commandments and you live by the Word of God completely, and beware of these false doctrines. And most of all, love one another. Because that's it. If you love God, keep His commandments, seriously false doctrine, and love one another. Yo, what other message can you give? If you do those three things, man. You completed it all.
It's something you said that, right? Because we was here, we were just talking about love, right? And you know
right.
something, bro? Let me ask you this question. And what I have made a statement that, you know, I feel as though the gifts of prophecy, healing, preaching, you know, all the different gifts, miraculous works, the different things we can do in the body of Christ, singing, you know what I mean, and all different type of ministry, just doing all type of stuff. It seemed like those things we hold higher than love. And we're trying to fulfill a lot of things, but if we be real about it, love is lacking.
I think really because love in itself is selfless, whereas the gifts is, for some reason, it has become more about us than the people we're using the gift for. Because even in us using the gift, we are in this self exaltation mindset that they will glorify us and not so much the giver of the gift. And we benefit people with ulterior motives. We're trying to help you, not so much because, therefore, we're trying to help you genuinely because we really care about your well-being. We're trying to be effective in helping you so therefore people can know our name and people can know what we do and people can identify us and glorify us for our gift, when that's not what the gift is really meant for. The gift is really meant for the edification of the body of Christ and for the edification of your brother and your sister. So I exercise my gift, not so much though for therefore you can know my name. I work in my gift, and I'm effective in my gift so I can help change your life. Because you work in your gift help change my life. So it's like, if we had that mindset that God gives us a gift to be a blessing to others, and it's funny you said that, because you don't understand that although your gift makes room for you, the primary motive for your gift is for your assignment. The assignment that God has placed in your life, and your assignment has nothing to do with you. It has always to do with somebody else. Destiny has everything to do with you. Your destiny, who you become as far as your character and where you are headed as far as your destination, that has to do with you. But your assignment, your gift is primarily for others. And when you are effective in your gift, that's when your gift begin to make benefit you and make room for you and bring you for great men. But the primary focus of your gift is to inspire and help somebody else.
That's something you said that too, right? Because earlier we was talking, my brother Sword, Pastor Harris on the phone. We was talking, and I had said that that a lot of us, we want our gift to make room for us, but we don't want to make room for love. We want the things that our gift can produce and give us, but we're not embracing real love. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I agree with you completely. Because Paul
said, I'm not talking about love like you give me a hug in church and like how you doing, and after that you don't have nothing else to do. I'm talking about real love that will take you in unfamiliar places and an uncomfortable place or an uncomfortable environment for you to do what you're assigned to do. Not where everything is just always so good and it feels good for you to do, but I'm talking about for you to show love beyond your agenda.
You know what? That it right there, it's funny you said about that, about the going through process and loving someone to the point where you're willing to go through. If we read the story, if we read the account of Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well, the story really begins in my mind that in verse 4 when he says, and Jesus must needs to go through Samaria. And what we understand is that he wasn't going through Samaria because of geographical convenience. He was going through Samaria because he knew he had to meet that woman. It was an assignment that pulled him through Samaria because he had to meet that woman. And to be quite honest, that was totally out of his cultural boundaries because Jews had nothing to do with Samaritans. Jews by nature, Jews by culture, didn't really deal with Samaritans like that. They didn't have no dealing with them. As a matter of fact, they considered them to be like dogs for the most part. Any Gentile that was non-Jew were considered to be like dogs. But them even more so because they had perverted the traditional methods of worshiping God. But yet he went through where he should not have gone through according to cultural standards and social standards, and began to impact somebody's life because he knew what he was trying to build in her. And he knew the greatness and significance that she had to that city, to that place, and he'd seen greatness in her. And that's what love does. Love will cause you to cross cultural boundaries. Love will also cause you to stand up for what is right and take the ridicule for what is right simply because you love that person enough not to allow them to operate in error.
Loving God, standing for God and His statutes and His principles, and if we just stand for that, a lot of that brings persecution and ridicule and all that.
And if we just stand on that, I believe that's
a real important time in the season we in now that we need to stand on and not be ashamed and stop compromising based on who the person is, what they have, and who they're connected to. We need to say what God wants us to say regardless.
Right.
Even if the finger is going to point right back at our own lives.
Yeah, that we had to identify and come to grips with some things we've done or are doing. At that time. And it's funny you said that because I'm currently doing some situations right now, and I believe the problem is We have pacified people for so long, thinking that it's love, but it's not really love, because love does not rejoice in evil. It does not celebrate wrongdoing. It does not overlook that which is wrong. Love doesn't do that. And what we have done so long in church, what we've done so long in our families, what we have done so long in our marriages and our relationships, we have pacified wrong behavior, thinking that we're showing them love, when actuality we're showing them harm. Because real love lets you know, hey, that behavior is not correct. Not so much because it's going to hurt me, but more so because of that, mainly because of that, it's going to hinder you from becoming everything that God wants for you to become. So I'm correcting you now, not so much because, not just because of the temporal situation or the present circumstance, but I'm correcting you now for the future. Because if you don't correct this behavior now, it's going to affect you down the line and sometimes, oftentimes, disqualify you from the fullness of what God has for you. That is why Ezekiel is so
listen right now, right? I'm gonna give Sword, you got 60 seconds. Pastor Boone, you're gonna have 60 seconds and I'm gonna close out the last 60 seconds. We got 3 minutes starting right now. Sword, last remarks, man. You got 60 seconds.
Amen. You know, just to stay on where we at, you know what I mean? Like, a true friend will confront his friend if they doing wrong. You know, like, nobody don't want to confront nobody, but, like, God confronted Jacob. You know, Jacob's name was Trickster. You know what I mean? Like, God changed his name to Israel. You know, sometimes, you know, God will confront you and have a confrontation, not just to comfort you, but to confront you. Like, in a true friend, like the minister, like the pastor was saying, you know, true love is not going to pacify you doing wrong. You know, like, instead of turning the cold shoulder when I know I need to address this issue that's taking place, like, you know, not judging nobody, but doing it in a meek and humble spirit, considering yourself, lest you too fall. Like the Bible, a verse came to my mind, like you said, love covers a multitude of sins.
Pastor Boone, it's your turn. I got to cut you off, Swart. I got to cut you off. It's the Pastor Boone turn. Pastor Boone, go ahead. You got 60 seconds.
Just piggyback on what Sword just said. Love covers all through the sins. It covers it to deal with it. It doesn't cover it to put it under the rug. It covers it so that you can deal with it, and you can deal with it in dignity and humility and meekness without exposing them to shame. And that's why we believe the body of Christ really need. We need true love that does not pacify and doesn't, but yet not condemn. That doesn't allow things go by, but yet not browbeat people and help people become better people and become better men and women for Christ. And that's what we need.
Wow.
Right now.
But listen, man, I thank everyone who tuned in to Dirty Church Radio. This is Minister Jay Miller. Listen, I just want everybody to know, whatever you got out of what was talked about tonight, it was a blessing to my life. I pray it was a blessing to yours. But whatever you do, embrace the love of God. Because it's not until you embrace the love of God that you can truly love and really know what love is. Love is lacking in the time that we're living in right now. But let us be that love that we see lacking, so we can fill in the gaps of love with our own lives and how we raise our children and how we embrace our families. I believe charity begins at home. So let us love in our own homes and produce love in our homes, so it can spread out and about to all over our world, so that people can know what God is, who he is, and what he can do for them. And you know what he can do? He can bring change to your life that you will never be the same again. God bless you all. We love you. Till the next time, be blessed. Yo, I thank you guys, man.
No problem, man.
Being a part of this, my brother Sword, who I always love, man, got mad love for you, man. And I know God is going to do some great and powerful things. Dirty Church Radio, you know, it's been down for a minute, but I thank God for allowing me to get my resources back together where I can continue this, because I do truly believe that God really put this thing on my heart. I'm kind of restructuring the show this time around. It's not, I mean, it's going to still be dealing with mad issues and different things like this, and with regardless of the topic or the issue, we're going to deal with it. But I want the word of God to be spoken more. I want men and women of God to take a stand on here more for the word of God. And it's more so about just someone hearing the name Jesus or Jesus loves or Jesus saves. It's not about such a great revelation. It's just the simple words. Jesus can change your life. You know what I mean?
Amen.
It's like calling out, marvel not. You must be born again.
Born again.
Like, period.
Minister J, Pastor,
yes,
I really have to tend to my grandbaby and my sons then came in. But we off air, right?
Right.
Yeah. Jay? Yeah.
Yeah. No, we're off live, but it's still recording. So when they go on demand, they'll still be able to hear this. But this is the after. This is the after. You know what I mean? Like, this show, man, is raw. Like, it's not, you know, if they listen to this, they just listen to it. You know what I mean?
Amen.
But, bro, I know you got to go.
I got you in my prayers. Keep me in your prayers. And by God's grace, man, we're going to connect real soon. I got a couple of, a couple of hurdles to go over, man. But nevertheless, man, God is with me through it all, you know?
Yeah,
and,
man.
I'll be in touch with you.
Okay. Well, listen,
God,
man.
God bless both of you.
Right. God bless you, bro. We'll talk to you soon, man.
All right, thanks.
Yeah. Pastor Boone?
Yes, sir.
I appreciate you, man, coming in on that last little part. I was like, let me call my brother. Don't even let him know that I'm about to call him. But I always know you got a word in you, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yo, man. I'm saying right now, man, in this season of life, man, it's really right now, and keep me in your prayers, and everybody keep it. Because I know the problem is there's so much compromise in church, and it's been so much compromise in so many areas. We've compromised so many areas, whether it be with our family, whether it be with our friends, we have to be ministers, that now it's time to really stand flat-footed and call things what they are. And not be afraid and not allow, and it'd be a trick of the enemy to allow our past to condemn us from not propelling to telling the truth in our present. I think a lot of times we feel as if because of things we've done, that we're hypocritical and telling that which is right. And it's funny. It's funny. Katai Cooper said something crazy. He's on the radio after everything that transpired, and he said, and the question was asked, like, how can you go and still talk about holiness, still talk about certain things when you've done what you've done? He brought an example. He said, Moses already killed a man and had to come back later on and say, thou shalt not kill.
He was
a murderer himself. So the law is the law. The word of God is the word of God. And no matter what you've done in your past, when God calls you, he calls you with your past in mind. And he knew what you were going to do when he called you. So he still wants you to still proclaim the same word that you would have proclaimed if you did nothing wrong,
what you did.
Yeah. Because it was not about what you did, about what he said. And that's what people got to understand.
Yo, before you even called in, right, I had went to a scripture in Isaiah. When was it? I think it was Isaiah. It was Isaiah, the 48th chapter. God had been dealing me with this, but where it says, starting at the 9th verse, for my name's sake will I defer mine anger, and for my praise will I refrain to be. that I cut thee not off. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. For mine own sake, even for mine own sake, will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory unto another. And when I was talking about, man, a lot of us are in some hellish situations. We're dealing with some severe afflictions. We're dealing, the heat is up in our life. But a lot of times, bro, the very affliction that you're dealing with ain't got really nothing to do with you. It'll benefit you in the end of the day, but at the end of the day, it's because God just wants the glory.
Yeah.
It's because of his sake that you're in it.
Right.
You're in it because he wants you in it. Ain't no other reason, ain't no great explanation about it. The fact is, you're in some of the things you're in because he just wants you there.
And what people don't understand
because
is,
you see a glory that you don't see.
Right. Right. Or you don't feel. Because take your eyes, a lot of times our resistance to the things of God, to the test and trials of God, is because it doesn't feel good.
It doesn't feel good.
It doesn't feel good, but we have to press to the nevertheless point to be like Christ, that even though it don't feel good, nevertheless not my will, but your will be done. And that's the level of maturity that we have to elevate to embrace that reality. Until then, we'll never see the fullness of God's glory. Because
Pastor
Bones, is,
guess what he's saying, man? God says, and I will not give my glory unto another. Check this. Whatever choice you make, whatever decision you make based upon your affliction that you're in, God going to get the glory whether you give him the glory or not.
Right.
It's better to deal with your affliction with God than to deal with it without him.
That's good stuff right there. Because you know what? My question is, if the Bible says how, the Bible says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. How are we really dealing with without God? Or is it that we're dealing with it with our faith and our perception of God changing? It's like the children of Israel, the Bible says in the Hebrews, what got them in trouble is, they had, not that they didn't have the same word that we had, but they did not mix the word with faith when received, and it profited them nothing. That means they had experiences with God, but their perception of God never changed.
Wow.
Their faith never built.
God going to get the glory whether you trust him or not.
Right. But don't let the glory come through your failure.
That's what I'm talking. But either way, he going to get it.
He's going to get glory by using the example of what not to do for somebody else to come behind you and not duplicate the same mistakes, or he's going to get glory from you actually going through the thing and being an example of what to do and people still growing mature.
Either way. That's so powerful, man. So really, when you start thinking about that, it'll kind of make you stop complaining.
Oh, you ain't never lie. You
start
ain't never
looking
lie
at it that way, I think you'll complain less.
Not only that,
go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. God's going to get the glory.
He's going to get the glory. Either way, it goes, man. So my thing is like this. I know that by his word says he's not going to give his glory to another. So if he's not going to give his glory to another, that means nothing can take his glory.
No.
Your disobedience can't rob him of his glory.
Right.
He gonna get it either way.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you preach another sermon, whether you say, I'm quit, I'm tired of these church people, God still gonna get the glory.
Right.
And I think, man, I'm gonna tell you, man, tonight, just listening to that, and sometimes you know how you read scriptures over and over, or you even make statements over and over. But then there are certain days when you say it or you hear it, it just does something to you.
Right.
Today was one of those days where I just looked at it like, yo, what you complaining for?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, either way, God is going to get what he wants.
Right.
So why don't you trust him, right? So you
right.
can be refined in it.
In the midst of it.
And so you can live to see the result of it. I know it don't feel good. It hurts. But the hope in that whole scripture is that it's refining you. But it's just
right.
not refining you the way you want to be refined. With silver or with gold. Or in the nice way that you desire.
It's through trial and tribulation.
Trial and tribulation.
And Pastor said
it'll make you more valuable, too, when you go through it that way.
Yeah, but you know what? It appraises you. It appraises the treasure within you. That's what it does. Because you don't know the value of the treasure unless what's been housed in the treasure has been tampered with.
That's right.
Because
the longer it's been under the fire, the more valuable and the bigger it gets.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, the fire
right.
is what raises the value of it.
Right.
The longer you can take it, the longer you can take the pressure and the heat is what increases your value. So my thing is like
right.
this. We going through some stuff right now. We probably going through some stuff as husbands, as preachers, as men. But we have to look at it. What we're going through is like, let's look at it like this. The pressure, all I'm going to do is let it increase the value of my praise unto God.
Right. The value of your service to God. Because you don't respect people that haven't gone through nothing. It's very little that a person that has not gone through anything can tell me, and I honor it and respect it. But when you've been going through hell and high water, and you've been going through all this kind of stuff, but yet you still hold on, yo, man, that now has value. That now has worth. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
And that's the reality. And, like, I think what happens a lot of time with our generation is, we're so quick, we want to get rich quick scheme. Everybody want to be an overnight wonder. But don't even know that those who appear to have come up overnight, that was like the longest night of their whole entire life. That night lasted years. That night lasted decades for some. That night was long. It wasn't like, okay, boom, presto chango, you got up, and boom, it was over. Nah, man. And I am telling you from experience right now, there's some things God is working on and doing. It's really about to be a blessing to me and my wife. And like, when people see it in this next coming 3 or 4 months to a year, people understand, like, don't understand how long and how much we've had to go through to get to where we are, to get to where we're going. They don't know how many times we've had to deal with eviction notice. You know how many times we had to deal with the threat of lights being cut off or lights being cut off. They don't know how long we had to deal with cars being broke down, not knowing what to do, having to catch rides and all that kind of stuff, having to borrow money from different folk because we didn't have it, because of the process that my wife was going through within her degree. They don't know those elements.
And you know what? Another thing is so deep too, as being a man,
when you go through that stuff like that and you marry, it kind of weighs on you even more, I think, sometimes, because it's like, I think, as far as me, I'll beat down on myself the more.
Right.
I beat myself up because I'm like, yo, why am I not in a position, or why was I in a position to allow this? You know what I mean? Like, could I have done more? Is it, what choice did I make that made it? What was the wrong choice? What was the wrong decision? You know what I mean?
Right.
Well, that's just as a man. You know, just as a man. Not being all deep and spiritual or nothing with that part.
No. No, because you measure, a man measures himself based upon the perception of his spouse, his children, and how he's able to provide for all and protect for all. And when a man is insufficient in that area, the man begins to question his manhood, because like, yo, man, I should be able to do this. But in actuality, I had to learn how to trust God beyond my manhood.
Yeah.
And realize that, yo, God, you are my source. You are my source. The job is a resource. Playing is a resource. Preaching is a resource. But you are my primary source. So if this resource breaks down, I have to trust you enough to believe that you're going to raise another resource up.
Yeah.
And that's sometimes I gotta look at it, man. But like, yo, man, I tell anybody, yo, be encouraged, man. If you're going through a struggle, and as soon as things ain't happening, and things ain't running, yo, man, believe me, just keep on trusting God. Because no matter how crazy it looks, like one prophet told me right before I went through a real, real tough storm, he said, "You'll sink, but you won't drown."
Wow.
It's going to seem like it's about to go under, but man, you're not going to drown in it. It's not going to kill you. Eventually, that boat going to straighten out.
Wow.
You right about that, man.
Well, look, bro, I'm going to get off the live line right here, man. It was a blessing just hearing you talk, man, and sharing some stuff, man. You know what I mean? And I hope anything that's on this show, man, that someone listens to it and bless their life in some type of way.
Definitely will.
For real, man. It's a blessing. But tell the wife, the Millers, we said hello.
Definitely will, man.
Yeah.
Definitely will.
And Sailor's looking me right in my face right now.
Yeah, man. That's my boo-boo right there. She probably got the same, adorable expression on her face right now. Like,
yo,
what are you doing? I can see it right now.
Yeah, man.
The same expression, man.
Well, look, man. I'll hit you. From the, what you
definitely, call. Man.
I got a couple questions for you. That's it.
All right, man. All right. Peace.